This is Night Call. Broadcast live with host Russ Gibb. You participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Now, here's Night Call host, Russ Gibb.
Hello, night people. This is Gibb. Standing by in Detroit, Michigan is 17-year-old Barry Bezance. Barry recently gained national attention when he was expelled from Cass Technical High School in Detroit for wearing a black armband to class, mourning the dead in Vietnam. Several days later, the school system relented and allowed Barry back into class with his armband. Barry is a 12th grader and last year won a commendation in the National Scholastic Magazine Writing Contest. Previous to his difficulties with the school authorities, Barry was carrying a 3.3 average. His average now is 1.9. Barry has traveled in over 30 different countries throughout the world and has attended school for a year in Germany, a half a year in Guatemala, and 1 year in Paraguay. Now, we've invited Barry to appear on Night Call this evening because we feel that some of his views are representative of a growing number of teenagers in America today. If you'd like to comment on tonight's topic, how Barry Bezance looks at the world, or ask a question of Barry, give us a call here at Night Call. Now, you can call us here at Night Call by dialing area code 313-846-6601. Now, remember, you may call from anywhere collect. Please make that call station to station. Our Night Call number, area code 313-846-6601. Our operators are on duty, and we invite you to join us here tonight on Night Call. Our guest, Mr. Barry Bezance, a high school student. Barry, why and how did you get in trouble with the school authorities?
Well, basically, it was because they didn't understand the action. Any action they can't understand should be repressed, because what they're fundamentally concerned with is not so much education as keeping the kids in class and off the streets, and not even educating them at all, so much as trying to mold them into specific kind of person, not into themselves, but into the kind of person they feel that society needs.
Well, isn't that the function of a school in a society, Barry?
Well, if so, then you can justify the Hitler Youth and things like that, because they were formed to mold a specific kind of person instead of allowing us to mold ourselves. And the reason of the armbands is that this wasn't part of the pattern at all, and they became so concerned that there was no demonstration or disturbance at all. Just the fact that we were wearing them indicated something was wrong with ourselves.
Well, how did the authorities treat you when you came into class with an armband?
Oh, they're very hostile. They didn't like the idea at all.
Well, how did they show this hostility, Barry?
Well, they asked if I belonged to any kind of organization, and asked why I was wearing boots, and if didn't I need a haircut, and how are my grades are doing. And generally, tried to get me in all fronts.
Well, now, do you belong to any organizations, Barry?
No, I don't, except the YMCA.
The YMCA. Now, what about the haircut and the boots? Is this proper dress for a high school, do you think?
Any kind of dress is proper dress for high school. As far as the students are concerned, but as far as the administration is concerned, it is indicative of a different kind of person if you wear boots or long hair. It's not the kind of person they want to mold.
Well, now, do you think it really makes a difference what a youngster wears to school?
No, it shouldn't, according to the administrators. It should be none of their business, or if it is some of their business, for instance, if you come to school wearing just about wearing shorts or something and they don't like it, they should find out why he feels he has to.
Now, why do you wear the, and can I use the outfit that that you wear? What is that outfit? A beetle haircut?
Well, sort of beetle haircut, but not nearly so well kept.
I see. And what type of shirts and are these turtleneck things?
No, they're ordinary button-down things that are a little square now, but I like them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not anything really heavy. And the boots, some of them are regarded as antisocial, like the grease boots, which are the high-heel beetle kinds. But the thing is, they don't want any kind of behavior or dress that seems to manifest an inward flouting of authority. They become very concerned about that.
Well, now, when you wear this outfit, do you feel as though you're flaunting authority?
I feel that no matter what, anyway. Because this isn't any real authority as much as sort of the organized brutality of people who are acting out the repressions on the kids.
Now, give me that one again, Barry.
Okay. Most teachers really have no function in teaching. And the fact that they are appointed as teachers gives them altogether too much power in repressing the little kids. Because they have no training for anything except their subjects, and they don't have any training in kids at all.
Well, now, where did you get this information?
Well, it's manifest in Teachers College. My father's a teacher. My mother was a teacher once, too. My father's a professor. And so I'm pretty hip to what's coming off in the Teachers Colleges. And that's not the whole issue at all. It's just knowing your subject. But they don't know the kids, and the subjects aren't important to the students. It's the students themselves that are important to, that should be important to everyone, including the teachers. Because they're not trying to mold mathematicians or physicists so much as they should be trying to mold persons.
We're talking tonight to Mr. Barry Bezance. Barry is a high school student who was recently expelled from a Detroit high school for wearing a black armband to class mourning the dead in Vietnam. And Barry is very concerned about schools feeling and saying such things tonight that teachers are more interested in the subject than they are in their students, and that it should be the other way around. If you'd like to comment or ask a question of Barry, give us a call here at Night Call. It's very easy to call us. Just dial area code 313-846-6601. And you may call us collect. You may reverse the charges. Area code 313-846-6601. Barry, if you were running a school, how would you run it? And can you speak up a little bit, please?
Okay. Well, I think you misunderstood my position earlier because they're not so concerned with the subject as a student, but for instance, they'll give you good grades if you just sit there and fake the work.
Now, what do you mean, fake the work?
Like, you just turn in your homework. You don't have to learn anything, just as long as you fake it. In some of my classes, I don't do anything. I don't even try and fake it, but because I sort of sleep through them, I get B's in them.
You get B's in them?
Yes, because they are interested in molding a person, but it's not a person. It's a kind of person, someone to gear to fit the status quo right now.
Now, are they succeeding with many of these youngsters?
Not at all. The kids know it, but most of them can't articulate it.
In other words, kids sense this feeling that they're being molded.
Of course. The only reason anyone, the people that wouldn't wear the armbands, for instance, only didn't wear them because they knew that the school would do the best to spike the chances of getting into college.
Now, this is sort of a threat, then, that schools use over their students.
Oh, yeah. They keep records, and the whole thing is, how will you behave in this environment where they're trying to repress you? If you could take it, you could probably take industry and keep your mouth shut in the right places. They're just concerned that you don't rock the boat. They're not concerned about molding you into your own kind of person.
Well, who can mold you into your own kind of person?
Actually, you have to do that on your own. The only way you do that is by flouting fake authority. And we do want authority if it's recent. But the authority they have there is completely unreasonable. They said take the armband off or get out. And so we got out, because that was completely unreasoning. If they just showed some brain somewhere along the line, and we would accept even the unreasoning things. But on the whole, it's purely arbitrary.
Do you think that there are any teachers who understand kids, Barry?
Oh, yes, I've got two of them right now, but they can't, because they're only teachers, and the administration has too much control over the faculty, as well as the students. Amazing how much control they have when they're really so poorly trained for it.
Well, now, how does the administration control the faculty?
Well, they just keep close tabs on them, and they bring all sorts of pressure to bear, for instance. If they manifest great concern if any of the parents start calling up and complaining that the kids are reading a dirty book as part of an English class.
Well, now, what do you mean a dirty book? Give me a definition of a dirty book.
Any kind of book with any realism in it at all.
Has this happened to you?
It's happening right now in my English class. The teacher made us take home notes asking permission to read the book, and half the parents won't sign them.
Well, now, what book are we talking about, Barry?
Death in the Family.
Death in the Family by?
Simon McGee, I think, something like that. I've forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
But the parents won't sign it because they figure if you have to take a note home, it must be dirty. So we have to take a note home because it's not a dirty book, but someone might think so.
And so the school has said, no, you can't read this book unless you get your parents' permission. Well, but how does that control a teacher?
Because there is this repression. It may not be, there's a sort of a psychic influence on teachers. They, you have to toe the line, and you have to watch it in the hole. But our English teacher has often refrained from expressing opinions, which she knew would just be too true for the class.
Well, how do you know this if he didn't express them to you, Barry?
Because she said, oh, no, I can't say this to this class, because she's still a young teacher.
Now, you mean there's a difference, then, as far as you're concerned, between young teachers and old teachers?
Oh, no, not at all, because the hippest teacher I ever had was this old guy who's so old that he was going to be retired anyway, and he could afford to say anything he wanted to.
Now, he was a hip?
Yeah.
Now, what does hip mean today? I know what it meant back in the 40s, but you tell me what it means today, Barry.
Well, he knows what's coming off. He's not indulging in faking any kind of thing. He's expressing his own ideas, and he's not trying to put across any kind of thing that would be school board approved or anything like that. He was just putting down history as he saw it. It's a dangerous class to put things down in history, but that's what he did.
Barry, can you speak up a little bit? You're fading on me here. And we have a caller standing by, Barry, in Baltimore, Maryland. A lady who is listening on WBAL in Baltimore, Miss Nancy Leeson. Good evening, Nancy. Speak right up and welcome to Night Call. Your comment, please.
I'd like to ask a couple of questions.
Yes, can you speak up, Nancy, please?
All right. First, I'd like to ask, is the boy?
Yeah, go right ahead. Go right ahead, Nancy. Hello?
Hello, are you through?
No, we're not. We just started the call, please. Operator, could you put Miss Leeson back on?
Yes, go ahead, please.
I'd like to ask the boy if he goes to school for an education or just to prove a certain point.
Okay, Barry?
Am I going to school for an education?
Or just to make a point?
No, I'm going to school because I'm forced to. And the education, I've managed to slip in some education here and there, and despite the schools, but I'm not going to prove a point. I'm going because I have to. The way the society is run, you are forced to go into school. In fact, you may be placed in a situation because up to a certain age you're forced to go to school, and because some schools pick you up for a haircut, that you may be legally forced to get your haircut. And I just have to go to school if I'm going to get hired in a job. I've got to have a high school diploma, and I do want to go to college because there's more of a chance for education to take place there. I do want to get an education.
In other words, you think it's freer in college than it is in high school, is what you're saying.
It's not actually very free, but it is much freer.
Nancy, can I ask a question of you?
Yes.
How old are you?
I'm 14.
And what do you think about fellas like Barry who get in trouble in school?
Well, I find that in school often I try to make a point, not necessarily that Vietnam, it might be that something they read in literature, and they just don't want anything that's different. You know what I mean? They have a curriculum that they want to follow, and they just don't want anything out of the ordinary. And I'm often told that the way you dress and act reflects your work.
Do you believe that?
No, but that's what they tell me in school. Could you please ask Barry what he thinks about that?
Barry, comment.
Well, that's obvious, Nancy. They don't want you rocking the boat at all.
Could you please speak up?
Okay. As Eisenhower says, sloppy dress indicates sloppy thinking. And sloppy thinking, according to them, is anything which differs from their thinking. And if you do have some minor differences, the teachers will love you because then they say, here's education taking place, and aren't I liberal? But if there are any major differences of opinion, they will really crack down on you and become very angry, or they will just ignore you and try not to let your disease spread to the other students.
Nancy, I want to thank you for calling Night Call and sharing your opinion and asking a question of Barry. Good night.
Good night to you.
Miss Nancy Leeson, a young lady from Baltimore, Maryland, listening on WBAL. Our guest tonight is
17-year-old Mr. Barry Bezons. He's a high school student from Detroit, and we're talking about how he views the world, and in particular, how he views education and the public schools. You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Well, I can't this Sunday. I'm playing golf, and the following Sunday I promise to take the kids to the beach.
Uh-huh.
Man's got to spend some time with his kids, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Besides, we seem to get along just fine without church. You know, it's up to the individual. Gee, look at the time. I got to run. But anyhow, we'll trot along to church one of these days.
Uh-huh. Well, how about 2 weeks from Sunday?
Oh, I never planned that far ahead. 2 weeks, the whole world could blow up by then.
That's right.
Where'd you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by your Council of Churches.
This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb. Hello again, Night People, and we're talking with a 17-year-old high school student on Night Call tonight, Mr. Barry Bezants. And Barry is a young gentleman who got in a little bit of trouble here in one of the schools because of his dress, and also because he was wearing a black armband mourning the dead in Vietnam to classes. And if you'd like to ask Barry a question or comment about some of his actions or some of his statements, give us a buzz. Now, it's very easy to call us at Night Call. All you have to do is dial our national number. That's area code 313-846-6601. Now, remember, you may dial us direct, and if you wish, gentle people, you may make that call collect. You may reverse the charges. Now, that's area code 313-846-6601. Our operators are on duty and our lines are open, and we invite you to join us here at Night Call. If you get a busy signal, don't become discouraged. Just hang up and dial us again. Area code 313-846-6601. And Barry, I have a caller standing by in Baltimore, Maryland, a gentleman who is listening on WBAL out of Baltimore, Mr. Barry Brown. Good evening, Barry, and speak right up. You're on Night Call. Your comment, please, sir.
He said that before the teachers... depend too much on their subject matter itself, not on the students. Well, that's what they get paid for, to teach the subject.
Okay.
And granted, they should give more time to the student, but the majority of teachers do.
Barry, what about it?
Well, of course it's true that's what they're getting paid for, and that's what I don't like. That's all they're getting paid for, and a lot of them are trying to. But that's why the administration cracks down on them or tries to.
Can you speak up, please?
The reason the administration gets angry at teachers that try to teach the students as people, not as potential mathematicians, is because it's not what they're getting paid for. They're supposed to just have them sit there in the class for 50 minutes or whatever it is, and maybe observe it, maybe not, but just to exist there and go through the motions of getting an education and possibly turn into a nice little social.
A nice what?
Soch.
What is a soch?
A soch is an all-around straight kid who's not actually straight at all, but has learned how to fake it. He's going to go to college and fake it some more there.
Well, now, how do you spot one via dress, a soch?
Well, he wears his madras and sometimes cranberry if he's going to go a little farther than that. And he is very nice to the teachers, sort of clean cut. They wear long hair, but doesn't keep it reasonably neat. He'll use sir all the time. It's just one of those hateful words in the language.
Now, he'll use what?
Sir.
Sir.
Tell the teachers, write down, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Well, now,
why is sir a hateful word, Barry?
Because the teachers haven't earned the authority, but because they are old geezers who feel that they're entitled to it. One of my teachers the other day asked me something, and she said it very nastily, and I said, yeah. And she said, you mean yes? I said, yeah. Because that's all she was worthy of, because she was she had no business in education at all.
Well, now, how can you make this value judgment, Barry?
Because I'm the one she's trying to reach. She's supposed to be trying to reach, and when I can see better than anyone else that she's not trying to reach me or anyone else.
Barry Brown, what do you think about this?
Has this been
your experience?
Because I think I have a bad connection or something.
I see. Barry, are you a soch?
Not at all.
Well, let Knight talk about Barry Brown now. Barry, let me ask you that question. We got two Barrys on the line, a little difficult. Barry Brown, are you a Soch?
I hope not. I doubt it very highly if I am.
Well, what do you classify yourself as, Barry?
Which Barry?
A normal student.
You're just a student.
I'm a normal student who tries not to get into trouble, like certain people. And I try to be clean cut, dress nice, cut my hair to a decent size. I don't try to walk around looking like a girl. And when I address teachers, I address them as they should be addressed. I don't say hey mister or hey kiddo or something off the wall like that. I address them hey mister umsellus or what have you. And the teachers they respect you for that. And even though they expect such things from a student, it will help the student himself, because that way the teacher will have more of a thing. We got these kids who say these weird things tend to one they're at in left field sometime during a class anyway.
Well, Barry Brown, why do you do this? In other words, you say it will help you. Now, how does it help you by conforming?
How does it help me? By just saying hello, sir, and...
Yeah, right.
Well, first off, I get respect from the teacher. And also, the teacher will respect you. Knows if a kid starts saying, hey, kid, or to the teacher or something, the teacher will, for example, if for some reason I would have trouble with a certain form of the subject, it was having trouble in geometry or something like that, the teacher would be willing more to help somebody who would call him sir than somebody who'd say hey mister, because he would figure that the person's out in left field anyway and doesn't try to listen and play it.
Okay, Barry, I want to thank you for calling Night Call and expressing your opinions on schools. Good night, sir.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Barry Brown, a young gentleman from Baltimore, Maryland, who's listening on WBAL, and Barry Brown feels that you should go along with the schools and that calling someone sir is not derogatory and is not necessarily a bad thing to do. Barry, I wonder if you had a comment that you'd want to make about Barry Brown.
Several. First of all, he is a Soch. He's a very typical Soch. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Some of my best friends are Sochs.
I see.
But calling someone sir is not necessarily a bad thing to do, but calling all teachers without distinction sir, I mean, some of them might be woman or something, you know.
Touché.
Isn't very good. And also, what he's after primarily is just getting along, and that's the most typical social characteristic. He's just trying to get through, and this will oil the thing. But the trouble is, the whole relationship is messed up to begin with, and oiling it is just indulging in hypocrisy instead of selling out, which is really too bad to start doing in adolescence, which should be a time of conflict, if anything, to develop yourself. Because you won't get developed as a person unless you indulge in some conflict, and to find yourself through that. And it can be something minor, like wearing an armband and getting suspended and getting back in, which is really pretty minor. Or it can be juvenile delinquency. But both function as parts of adolescence. Juvenile delinquency becomes about as a result of people who just can't stand being a Soch anymore, because they realize that it just involves toting along to people who often aren't worthy of it at all. And people who are worthy of being called sir don't have to be, because they don't expect it, because they're mature enough human beings to realize that any dignity they have is inherent, and it doesn't have to be demanded from other people.
Barry, how many classifications do you break people into today? I mean, your contemporaries. You've talked about Soch, and you've talked about Greece. Now, are there any other classifications?
Well, there would be the people who are functioning more or less as people instead of as parts of an educational system like the Soches and the frats, who
Now, what? The frats. Now, that's frats. Another one. Now, what's the difference between a soch, a frat, and a grease?
Well, a soch is Barry Brown, only worse. I mean, a frat is Barry Brown, only worse, more extreme. And...
Well, now, aren't these the clean-cut kids, really?
No, that's sort of a fake thing.
What do you mean, fake, now, Barry?
Well, it's, as Barry said, it's something to go through because it makes things easier. Not necessarily because it's worthy of it. The teacher's worthy of it, though the kid will often convince himself that that's true.
Well, now, what other... You gave me three. Now, is there another one yet?
No, there's a frat, and there's a soch, and the grease, and there's the ethnic.
The ethnic. Now, what's the ethnic?
Well, that term in itself doesn't mean anything, but basically it's someone who refuses to be classified, but because he can't get away with that, he classifies himself deliberately as an ethnic, which means someone who is referred to in the papers as a kook or a Vietnik or a peacenik or a long-haired slob or something like that.
Well, now, is this what you consider yourself?
I don't consider myself a long-haired slob or a Vietnik, but a... because that's a derogatory term, but in many people's minds. But I do consider myself an ethnic.
Well, then, if you're an ethnic, you're saying that you really don't want to be classified. You're
yes.
screaming out in many ways, Barry, and saying this to me, that you want identity in a world that is not giving you identity.
That's right. They're trying to take any we have away or not let it develop as it has.
Barry, let's continue. We have a caller in Indianapolis, Indiana, a lady who's listening on WFBM. This is Mary Holman. Good evening, Mary, and welcome to Night Call. Speak right up your comments, please.
Yes. The first question I'd like to know is, would you ask Barry where he expects to go from high school?
Barry?
Where I expect to go from high school? I'd like to carve a place for myself in society where there would be some place I could go. But right now, the only place I can go is college, and then figure out where the devil I can go. Because, I certainly have thought. I could possibly go into some profession. This doesn't seem appealing anymore because, going through all the motions of getting the education is bad enough, or even learning it, that's a fine thing. But then the professions themselves, or the regular occupations, are often so incredibly, degradingly dull. They really take away any person's dignity when all he does is work all day, and the work isn't necessarily work, but just sort of make work, which is most of our jobs in our society turn into when automation is so possible.
Well, now, this is something you said about schools, too, Barry.
Yes.
That they do this. They make work.
It's all connected. It's an inherent fault in our society. There are really no evils that are completely alone or isolated.
Mary, you had another question.
Yes. Is this rebellion, if I understood right, his mother and father were teachers, is this rebellion against the teaching profession?
Barry?
No, I wouldn't say so at all, because my parents are teachers, and some of my best friends are teachers, and I have nothing against teachers. I think it can be one of the most really tremendous professions, but also often it becomes really perverted, really, which is a lousy word to use, but it really becomes something else.
Mary, it's time for our station break on Night Call. I want to thank you for calling and asking Barry some questions tonight.
Thank you so very much.
Good night. Miss Mary Holman, Mrs. Mary Holman, a lady from Indianapolis, Indiana, listening on WFBM out of Indianapolis. Our guest tonight is
17-year-old Barry Bezance. He's a high school student, and we're talking to him about how he views the world, and in particular, how he views education and the public schools. You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Look, I'm quite self-sufficient. I made myself what I am, thank you.
But don't you think all of us occasionally could use a little divine or...
Gee, I gotta run. Here's my card, anyhow. I'm a vice president now.
Well, good.
Yes, indeed.
But your name is just penciled in here.
Well, there's a big turnover in personnel. You know how it is.
Uh-huh. Well, that's just about how it is in life, isn't it?
Pardon?
We're all just penciled in.
Where'd you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him. It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by the United Presbyterian Church.
This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb. Hello again, gentle people, and welcome to Night Call. We're talking with 17-year-old Barry Bezance. He's a high school student and a fellow who was carrying a 3.3 average all through high school until he got into some difficulty recently on the Vietnam situation, and now is carrying a 1.9. And Barry is sharing with us tonight on Night Call some of his views about the world and about education. And possibly this is an example of youth in rebellion. I don't know. What do you think about youngsters today? And if you have a question that you'd like to direct toward Barry, he's a very well-spoken young man. Here's your chance to talk to him, find out what he's thinking about. He's told us about the various classifications of students today. There seems to be some students are called Greece, some are called frats, some are called sos. And others are called ethnics, and I guess Barry considers himself an ethnic, and this is an area whereby an individual that doesn't wish to be classified but is desperately saying, look, I'm a human being. Barry is rather critical of the school, so if you'd like to express some opinions to Barry or ask a question, call us at area code 313-846-6601. Now remember, you may call from anywhere, collect. You may reverse the charges, and we'd like to hear from you tonight. Now please make that call station to station. Our night call number, area code 313-846-6601. If you get a busy signal, don't be discouraged. Just hang up and dial us again. Area code 313-846-6601. And Barry, I have a caller standing by in Denver, Colorado. A young lady who is listening on KTLN out of Denver, Miss Barbara Lerna. Good evening, Barbara. Speak right up and welcome to Night Call.
Good evening, Russ. I wish you'd speak up, too.
Okay, thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. My comments were really directed to Barry. You know, it's a pleasure listening to him because, as far as I'm concerned, the people who think he's a, you know, he's a troublemaker are losing out on the essence of what he's doing, really. Because to me, in our democracy, and we're forever telling everyone we have a democratic country, that this is the only type of system where we can get the best out of everybody. Not teach them a particular way of thinking, but allow them to, you know, to decide on their own and to grow. And if our education system is failing there, then the education system's fault and not Barry's. And I would tend to agree with him. Through my high school experience, I remembered similar incidents to what Barry has gone through, and it's really quite annoying. As a matter of fact, tonight I listened to a news broadcast about the high school I went to in New Jersey, where a class was asked to read Framingham's Zooey, and this broadcast over the radio said it was a filthy book.
That's Salinger again, isn't it?
Yes, that's Salinger. Oh, Death in the Family was James McGee. But the thing was, to me, why you can stifle things from kids is unreal, you know? I realize the public school system, but, you know, it just seems unfair in every sense, and I really wonder where is a student supposed to turn? Because to me, the opportunity should lie there in our public school system and nowhere else.
Barbara, can I ask you a question?
Certainly.
Are you a college student now?
Yes, I'm attending the University of Denver.
I see. Well, Barry, would you like to comment on Barbara's comments?
Yes, I think she's.
Barry, I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
Okay. She's really putting down some tremendous ideas, but isn't going quite far enough. She did hit the good aspects of a democracy, but the trouble is that the high school is tremendously authoritarian, and what we're trying to do with the armband is find out if it were a democracy or not, and it certainly wasn't. And to a tremendous extent, that's true with the society as a whole as well. that this is not a democracy in very many ways, in a great many ways, and we'd like to make it such, but the whole thing is they are trying to repress us.
Well, how would you run a school, Barry, if you had the opportunity? Wouldn't it be chaotic if kids could do anything they wanted?
I've got a very, my best class is a very chaotic one. It's a debate. The teacher in there is one of the best teachers I've ever had, and he leaves us alone.
He leaves you alone?
Yes. I was very shocked the first day in that class to find out that the kids did most of the teaching. We taught each other how to debate. Some of the kids, of course, have been on the debate team for a few years and didn't know all the ropes. But the thing is, a great deal of learning goes on in that class because the teacher just leaves us alone. And the only kind of order he keeps is when the disorder goes in the wrong direction, and it very rarely has, and he just gives a touch here and there. But the classes would really shake up an orthodox teacher because, for instance, when someone gets up to speak, we all stand up and applaud.
You do?
Yeah.
Right in class?
Yeah. Several times.
Well, now, what happens if his principal walks by the room that this teacher is teaching in? Doesn't he sort of lift an eyebrow?
No, then we all shut up and the teacher gets up and starts lecturing us.
Barbara, has it been your experience in high school that they're not democratic?
Well, I've had similar experiences. I could only get glimpses of what Barry was saying, but I've only had some very valuable teachers in high school, and then the rest were all duds. So either you conform to their mediocrity or forget it, you know. Some of them even refuse to answer your questions, you know, if they got the idea that your question probed further than they want to be bothered teaching in the course. And this is very annoying to a student. I mean, anyone who's curious of any sort. What I did want to ask Barry, though, to challenge him on one thing. This one teacher, I think he said he had one teacher who allows a free debate to go on.
Right.
Did I get that right?
Yes.
Now, I've experienced this, too, in college as well as in high school. And even though I participate and I love this type of class and wouldn't give it up for the orthodox type of lecturing, what I would like to know is, does Barry have a solution for the people? I'm sure, Barry, you have friends who are sitting back and not contributing, or some of this stuff is just going over their head. Now, if they're not up to the level and they're not interested, they're not motivated, how do we accommodate these kids in a public school and still stimulate the ones that can go beyond? So we have to separate them.
Well, I think that they can be left together. For instance, this does go over the level of a few kids in the debate class, but that's all right because it doesn't really matter. Almost all the things we learn in school really aren't that important at all because they have so little to do with reality.
What do you mean by that, Barry? Explain that, please.
Well, what school is doing isn't trying to glorify the status quo, is to create some kind of tremendous glorified image of the status quo, which isn't true at all. And when they do try and inject reality in the form of, say, political opinions, which would be the most dangerous thing at all for a teacher to do from his own personal standpoint, then the administration becomes really worked up over that because truth has no place in there. Don't confuse issue with facts.
In other words, you're saying that politics should be taught in a school or expressed political views.
No, because every time the school does start teaching politics, they become tremendously, they really start glorifying the status quo again. Well, personally, I'm not going to find any teacher who agrees with me, except there are a few that do, but they can't. But I'd rather have them just talk about, the thing is, they could leave us alone and assign books, or they could have some meaningful discussion with the teachers remaining out of it and just assigning reading. Because when the teachers do start talking politics, which they slide in almost every class, except where we have really good teachers, then they approach absurdity.
Well, now, the question that Barbara had of you is, what do you do about the kid that doesn't become involved in the classroom? Do you have any suggestions?
Leave him alone.
Just leave him.
Yes, because it really doesn't matter if he does or not, because it doesn't have any application to reality.
Barbara, I want to thank you for your questions and sharing your comments with us tonight on Night Call. Good night. Miss Barbara Myrna, a lady who's listening in Denver, Colorado, on KTLN, a student at the University of Colorado. Let's go back out to Denver, and a gentleman who's listening on KTLN, Mr. Roger Dunlap. Good evening, Mr. Dunlap. Speak right up, please. You're on night call. Your comment, please, sir.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I would like to ask Barry if, perchance, did he ask the school authorities if he had permission to wear the armband before he went to class?
Barry?
Well, the fact is, it's none of their business what I do in such a matter, because doesn't make any difference. Rather it does. It's just that it's none of their business whether I wear an armband or not. If it,
But you didn't answer his question, Barry.
No, I didn't go ask permission. They're kind of worked up that I didn't. But
well,
the fact is, they would have denied me.
That you thought that of the consequences of everybody in the school or any type of menagerie that they thought they'd like to wear to class, what kind of a circus this would be in our school systems if some particular individual decided to wear green and blue and another one wanted to wear gym clothes, or another girl with a chance to come to class in a ballerina costume or something like this. This would be a real real menagerie there, and there has to be some kind of control over the dress, and I'm sure that if you had gone to the authorities and explained why you wanted to wear the bands and had the permission, possibly it would have been announced over throughout the school system that anybody that would like to have joined you in this could do so. But just to walk in class with a black armband on and not explain why, I mean, this, I can understand why they would have a little objection about this. It seems that you seem to flaunt authority a little bit. You don't seem to feel that you have to prescribe to the rules going in this whole world right now. And if you plan on going out and getting work, and you walked into a place of employment, and an employer would look at something like this, and he would say, not only is this guy a sloppy dresser and would he do sloppy work, but he probably won't conform with my rules that I set up for work standards, and believe me, this man signed your paycheck, so you've got to conform.
Barry?
Well,
comment.
That was very revealing.
I can't hear you, Barry.
Okay. Well, first of all, man, life is a circus. If the schools ever start to reflect that, that's quite all right, but they don't want it to reflect life at all. And so if it starts looking like a circus, that's a very good sign. And I wasn't talking about wearing bloomers or gym clothes or anything.
No, but this is a good example that if everybody decided to wear or whatever they just, you know, wanted to class with the long hair and the tube boots and all this stuff, you know, there has to be a limit somewhere, because there has to be a certain amount of authority somewhere. And teacher can't keep your attention in the classroom, she certainly can't convey her thoughts over to you. And you have a great respect for your teacher. You don't feel she has the training to teach you or instruct you. If you lack the authority in her, you must lack the authority in your state, because they have given her the license to teach in your state, in your school system. And you just don't feel the whole world is right. I mean, you've got to stand off by yourself. And I'm all for independence and individuality, but there's still certain rules you've got to follow in this whole world, or you just don't fit in. I mean, it's not just for the individual, it's the whole mass, and that's the reason we have laws, and that's the reason we have authority. We have to follow certain prescribed rules, or we're in trouble, boy. We just got a mass confusion out here.
Mr. Dunlap, can I ask you a question?
Certainly.
Are you a teacher by any chance?
No, I've been through school or college, but I thought about going into the teaching, but I didn't. I sell typewriters.
Roger, I want to thank you for calling Night Call and expressing your opinion.
Well, I sure felt I should say something. He got me a little disgusted there with his opinion or his attitude. I think he's got a long, hard life ahead of him. He better take a long, second look at what he's doing.
Mr. Dunlap, thank you for calling Night Call. Good night. Mr. Roger Dunlap, a gentleman who feels Barry is out of it, as it were, and had better learn to conform if he's ever going to make a go of it. And we'll give Barry a chance to respond to that after we take our station break.
And Mr. Dunlap was listening on KTLN out of Denver. And our guest tonight is 17-year-old Barry Bezance, a high school student from Detroit, Michigan. You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call.
where you participate by calling Night Calls National phone number 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Busy America! Busy America! Busy making money! Busy buying gadgets, busy keeping up with you-know-who.
Is that your idea of fulfillment?
Don't you wonder if there's more to life than just that rat race with no finish line? Where'd you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by your Council of Churches.
This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
How does a 17-year-old young fella look at the world today? That's what we're talking about on Night Call, and our guest is Mr. Barry Bezance. He's 17 years of age and a student in Detroit, Michigan. And if you'd like to ask Barry a question or make a comment about some of the comments, some of the things that Barry has said, give us a call here at Night Call. You can call us by dialing area code 313-846-6601. Now remember, you may make that call collect. You may reverse the charges if you wish. Area code 313-846-6601. We invite you to join us here on Night Call. Barry, the last caller, Mr. Dunlap from Denver, just as we were getting ready to break the station, said something to the effect that you disgust him, or your attitude, I should say. Do you find that you affect many adults like this, and how does it affect you to know that you affect adults in this manner?
Well, when I do, it is heartening in a way, because at least I affect them to at all.
It's heartening?
Yes, because so many of them just don't care or have some stereotype in between my personality and theirs, and they just can't see me as anything except something to be molded.
And how do you wish to be viewed?
I don't care how they view me, just as long as they leave me alone to develop as a person, but they won't do that.
Barry, we have a caller standing by in Denver, Colorado now, a listener on KTLN, Mr. Hans Clayman. Good evening, Hans, and welcome to Night Call. Your comment, please, sir.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to address myself to Barry, and first say to him that I do not object to his wanting to form his opinion and try to possibly shape his life in sequence to what he believes in. But I must make some comments and opinions I have formed in listening to him. And I think it would be nice if Barry would continue debating his opinions and feelings with adults. It might help some of us to get a better idea, and it might help him to get a better idea. And I hope this, what I have to say, might help him to add something to his vocabulary. One, I feel, he's not necessarily against the school system. I think he's more or less against anything that is adult. He doesn't like to be considered young. Furthermore, I believe that he has a low opinion of anything that's of age. I believe he has spoken only of those things that he feels are wrong without ever mentioning his responsibilities. I don't recollect his comments on what he feels are his responsibilities, not only to this society, but to his particular school.
Well, Hans, let's ask Barry that question. What about your responsibilities, Barry?
Well, I think this is at the root of the problem here. And the fact is that the responsibilities that we're supposed to have as young people, which, remember, are young people, people, as such, you know, and mm-hmm. should be considered as people, but all too often they're not, are not responsibility we've accepted for ourselves, and we want to mold our own responsibilities, and the ones that we do mold ourselves, we will be very, very responsible towards. But if they're just imposed upon us arbitrarily by a school board that we know has made mistakes in some areas, then the others by association tend to seem ridiculous as well, even though a great many of them are undoubtedly founded on truth.
I can't hear anything, Kip. I'm sorry, the connections going out of the studio are very low tonight, and I apologize, Hans, but basically he's saying, Barry is saying, he wants to, he doesn't mind responsibility, provided he has a say in determining what that responsibility is. Isn't that correct, Barry?
Yes.
All right. Yep, I was going to make my next point, and this might possibly help him. There's such a thing as common courtesy. And when there is no common courtesy, then you have a need for laws and rules. And you will find that as more common courtesy a man exercises, as less he is exposed to the laws and rules, because they are more or less, they are not as necessary. And I would also like to point out to Barry that sometimes it takes more guts to exercise discipline, and I don't mean the type that I was exposed to, but the type where you know maybe that you're smarter than someone else, but somehow you discipline yourself to act as a human being without offending someone else. And
well,
my final comment would be this, Barry. Are you there?
Yes.
Yes.
I would ask myself, I would like to ask you 6 years from now, what are you willing to do to help administer the type of society and involve yourself not in criticism, but in actually administering and involvement to make this the type of society that you so much believe it should be today? Because I feel, Barry, that many a young man has forgotten all this once he has to take responsibility upon himself, and for your sake and my sake, I hope you will not forget your involvement today when you're about 6 or 10 years older.
Barry, will you?
I certainly hope not, but what responsibilities we are taking, people who feel like me and myself in society, we're not allowed to administer much, because if we do feel that there is anything wrong with society that we'd like to change, well, then we're put down for being leftists, and they won't let us administer anything.
Was this what was involved in the armband thing?
That was a great deal of it. They couldn't care less. And the other caller that I was discussing missed this point. It's not that it's a desired dress, or it's not that it's a strange dress or anything. It's just that they didn't do anything until they found out that it did have political implications, and that the politics were different from what the school would like us to believe.
You think the school would like you to basically practice a conservative point of view?
No, they want us to, yeah, a Reader's Digest mentality is what they want us to foster.
A what type of mentality?
Reader's Digest.
I see. And I take it you mean that's a low?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not saying I agree with you. Hans, thank you for calling Night Call.
Thank you so much, and Happy New Year to both of you.
Yes, sir. Same to you. Mr. Hans Klayman, gentleman from Denver, Colorado, listening on KTLN. And I think we have time now for a caller from Junction, Kansas, a lady who's listening on WIBW out of Topeka, Kansas, Mrs. Betty Modica. Good evening, Betty, and welcome to Night Call. Your comment, please.
Yes, I have some comments, and I have one question, please.
Right.
It sounds, from what I gather, that this young Barry is so much against discipline and conformity and education, and yet he sort of sums up the way I feel about some of the younger generation today. And I would like to comment that I think discipline is most important, that he mentioned much earlier in the evening about calling people sir. I think that's a remarkable thing to have a younger person call people sir and ma'am. It shows respect, and I really feel that once they're a little bit older, they will enjoy that same respect. And as far as education, I think everyone has to have an education to live in this society. And if you look around, you see those who didn't get it Those are the ones who are having their problems and are in trouble, one thing and another. And yet he says one of the nicest professions is being a teacher. So I really feel that maybe he's a bit confused. And you have to conform in this society. Otherwise, I don't know. I've traveled all over the world. My husband's in the service. And you have to get along. You have to do as others do just to be able to live. And I would like to ask him mainly, why did he wear the armband? Was that protesting our being in Vietnam or what?
Barry?
Yes, I was protesting being in Vietnam.
And you were?
Yes.
Well, I have a husband who's there now, and I feel and I know he feels that he is definitely doing the right thing. And I think there's nothing wrong with protesting at all. But I don't think this should be brought into the school, because I think if the school doesn't have discipline, a younger person has to have discipline. When he is an adult and on his own, so to speak, then I think he can more or less do as he thinks he ought to do. But he has to have a discipline to get his education and to grow up to be the proper person. I have two young boys now, very young, and I'm working very hard on strong discipline and respect. And I think so many of the young teenagers nowadays lack so much of that.
Barry?
Well, ma'am, you seem to be basically...
I can't hear you, I'm sorry.
Basically, you seem to have very good intentions, but the conclusions you draw from these intentions are totally misplaced. For instance, Vietnam is already in the high schools. It's that our position there is morally just and that we should stay in there, and that's it. They just say that, and don't give you reasons, except some reasons which seem very phony to a great many people. And we're just trying to get the opposite viewpoint involved. And also, there's a draft that's right in there, breathing down our necks. They're going to get us for that, and we should have some say as to where we want to go. Or if we're going to get drafted, we should have some say before we get drafted as to whether or not this is a good thing in, say, Vietnam or anywhere else.
Well, Betty, I want to thank you for calling Night Call and sharing your experiences with us.
Yes, thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Mrs. Betty Modica, and she's a lady living in Junction City, Kansas, and listening on WIBW out of Topeka, Kansas. Barry, we don't have any more time for any callers, and we just have 30 seconds, so I'd like to say thank you for being our guest on Night Call. We've enjoyed hearing your opinion, and I hope that as time goes by, that maybe you'll be able to come back and express your views again with us on Night Call.
Well, thank you very much, Russ. It's been a form of healthy discipline, I think, for myself and for probably many listeners as well.
Good night, Barry.
Tomorrow night on Night Call, our guest will be Mr. Warren Braun, and Warren is a consulting radio engineer and a gentleman who has faced up to life in a most interesting fashion. We'll be talking with Warren tomorrow on the topic of How Much Will I Adventure in 1966. Until then, this is Gibb wishing you good luck and Godspeed.
Night Call is produced by the Methodist Church in cooperation with the National Council of Churches and this radio station, as a radio forum dedicated to the frank discussion of vital issues of daily life. Night Call encourages its participants to express freely and responsibly their own personal opinions.